Father, we just come before you, Lord. Once again, Father, thank you for your Spirit, Lord. Your unconditional love in this place, Father, that is working miracles even right now, Lord. That is binding up whatever power the enemy thought he had, Lord. Those chains are broken because you said, he who the Son sets free is free indeed, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you begin to restore that which the enemy has taken, Father. We love you and we worship you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and have a seat. My name is Melvin Negus. I came out of Calvary Chapel, Diamond Bar. I have a small church in South Pasadena, somewhere out there. And I've gone through a lot in a couple of years, but we all have, man. You know. But I'm going to share with you this morning a message entitled, Men Be Men Again, but not in a condescending way. Not in a way that, you know, we're going to browbeat you as a man to be a manly man again. Not in that way at all. In a loving way to exhort you. Every man falls. Everyone hits rock bottom. And for some of you, thank God for that. For others, you've been a Christian for a while and you've been smashed by the enemy, by trial, by circumstance, maybe by betrayal, by divorce, by drugs, a financial situation, something that has happened that Satan knocked the wind out of your sail, but you got to get back up. You know, for the soldier who is eager in boot camp to go to war, it's all glory, right? It's like in the movies, they have a picture in their head. I can be all I can be now. I can't wait to get there until you get there. And you can't wait to get out of there. It's hell on earth. But there's some who re-enlist, knowing the horror of war. And for you, Christian, for you, believer, you're in a war. Not physically, although it seems that way, but spiritually. And to get back up and to say, here I am, Lord, do with me as you will again. Yeah. And you're going to get smashed again. But you keep on going because you know that greater is he who is in you than he who is of this world. And God is good. He is good. For some of you new believers, I don't want to make it like all roses and, you know, easy path. It's going to probably even get more difficult. But on your own, it's difficult, right? But now you have the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a family of believers around you who will hold you accountable, who will exhort you to continue. But it's not going to be easy. It might even get more difficult. Because Satan had you on your way to hell. He probably would bless you in certain ways, because Satan does bless his children. But that which, you know, he blesses with will perish one day. And God will be with you. But Satan will come after you even harder. Through old connections, through friends, whatever he can do, he'll try to get you again. Because now you've escaped the depths of hell. And you're on your way to heaven. You're still alive, and it's for a reason. You probably should have been dead. We should have been dead. But God has a purpose and a plan for you to fulfill here on earth. And the best thing you can do is just walk it out and do it. God loves you. I'm going to share out of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. And here the Apostle Paul exhorts the men to be men again. Be a man again. Now, I don't want you to be the man you used to be, because you're like, well, I did certain things. I had a certain amount of success in the world. I want you to be a man again in the Lord, in the Spirit. And I believe I'm speaking to those who are coming into Christianity, but also for the seasoned believer. As a young Christian, man, it was idealistic. But as I get older in the Lord, I think one of the miracles I've heard it said is, after you're around Christians, and maybe the politics or the hypocrisy of the church, it's a miracle that we're still even Christians. Eyes on the Lord. Not a man, not the church, not the people who go to the church. We're all sinners. But God is good. I lost a lot, guys, in the last 2 years. I was not drinking, not smoking anymore. I used to do all of that. Living for the Lord, planning a church, doing those things, and Satan got me good. My wife is gone with another man. And the hardest thing for me wasn't just losing her and my home, even my dogs, man. I lost the dogs in that same week. Two of them got hit by a car. One got hit by a car, one got eaten by a coyote, and the other one I gave away. I'm like, I can't lose anymore. The hardest thing for me was losing custody of my children and becoming a weakened dad. I'm the spiritual leader of my home. And now some other man who isn't a Christian is raising them. And I've been a good boy. I came out of the world. But we're soldiers. We're going to get hit. And we got to get back up. I even lost my church that I was planting with all the chaos. And something about when you begin to suffer, people begin to judge and say, oh, you must be in sin. So a lot of even pastors turned their back. And Christian friends and all the couples and friends I knew, I lost a lot of things. But by the grace of God, I haven't lost hope. God is good. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And He hasn't. I'm good. By the grace of God, I feel like I'm juicy again in the Lord. But for a while, I'm just going through the motion. I'm showing up on Sundays and teaching. And inside, I'm dying, right? And only certain people I was able to talk to. And sometimes no one's around. But God is always around. Amen. You're going to go through it, guys. It might even get more difficult. But no matter what, you'll lose everything. You fall on your butt. But you got to get back up. And when you can't get back up, He will lift you up and move you forward. Because it's not by power nor by might, but by His Spirit, says the Lord. Paul exhorts the men in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. He says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, and let all that you do be done with love. He tells us four things here, guys. Watch, stand fast, be brave, be strong. Regardless of what's happened to you, whether you're a new Christian and you're coming out of maybe the substance abuse world, thank God for that. For me as a new Christian, it was alcohol and women. And by the grace of God, man, on my way home, I was drunk and I crashed my truck into a parked car. And obviously I got a DUI, and thank God for La Habra Police Department, there was a police officer who was a Christian. And on my way to jail, urinated drunk, he was listening to 107.9 FM. And a pastor by the name of Greg Laurie was talking about the thief on the cross and how God loved him and how God forgave him. And I began to hear God tell me, I love you, I died for you, I'll forgive you. And I'm like, I don't believe that, because look at me. I'm handcuffed. I'm urinated, drunk, going to jail. But the officer saw me crying. And he said, do you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? And we pulled over. And he prayed with me. I still went to jail. I'm like, brother. He's so sorry. Sorry, son. I still went to jail. And I had to pay a lot of money. That wasn't easy. It took many years to pay. But thank God for that. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. I was then plugged into Calvary Chapel Diamond Bar Men's Fellowship a lot like this. What a blessing. What a blessing. and then a couple years ago got hit again. But so what? We get back up. Paul says, watch, stand fast, be brave, and be strong. You know those posers on TV, you know, certain channels in the 40s, I'm not saying where, there's good stuff. And there's bad stuff. And you're going to run into churches that will teach you that if you become a Christian, you'll be healthy and you'll be wealthy. Well, I like to say that's a lie from the pit of hell. Nothing wrong with being healthy and wealthy. At times, you know what? You're going to have money. At times, you're not. At times, you're going to have health. At times, you're not. And doesn't mean God doesn't love you. You don't measure the love of God by your health or by your wealth or your circumstance. You measure His love by what He did for you on the cross. He died for the poor and for the rich. He died for the sick and for the healthy. Jesus, being the Son of God, was broke. They asked Him, hey, should we pay taxes? And He said, can I borrow a coin? And He says, whose image do you see on this? Render to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and to God that which is God's. He had to borrow a coin. At times He was broke, and He was the Son of God. And Jesus, being the Son of God, died on a cross and suffered horrendously, physically, and yet He is the Son of God. So be careful. The Lord told us in John chapter 16, verse 33, if you're taking notes, in the world you will have tribulations. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We're going to have trials. We're going to have problems. Satan will come after us. Our own family members, it's easy to, you know, someone who doesn't like you, who's outside of your inner circle, but when someone who you love, a family member, a friend, a wife, whatever, a child even, betrays you, that hurts. But yet God is with you. So men, we need to, number one, watch. 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 It means to be alert. Don't just go with the flow. Be cautious. Be looking around for the schemes of the enemy. Because we know, and you probably learned this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Now, I've heard it said that he's a lion with no teeth. No, he has teeth. And he bites. And it hurts. But he can't kill you. He can maul you with permission from the Lord, but he can't kill you. He can hurt you bad, but he can't destroy you. Satan, as children of the Lord, Satan has no power over you anymore. He only has the power that we allow him to have. He can't control you. He can't make you do things, but he will try to destroy you. Drugs, alcohol, women, fame, pride, money, all those things with measure aren't bad. Maybe the drugs are bad, but, you know, with measure in the Lord. But so we use all these things and our desires to try to entice us again. So we are to be watchful. And one of the best ways to be watchful is to have an intimate prayer life with the Lord. In Job chapter 1, a man who suffered horrendously, but he was a good man. And he was watching all the time. He was praying for his family. Let me read quickly from Job chapter 1, verse 1. There wasn't a man in the land of Oz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright. One who feared God and he shunned evil. And he had 7 sons and 3 daughters born to him. And a long story short, as we keep on reading, he would go out daily and pray or offer up sacrifices to the Lord on behalf of all of his children. Now, as he's sacrificing to the Lord, no doubt he's praying for his family. And that took a lot of work and effort. How many have family members, probably not so much anymore, who used to go get a goat or a lamb and actually kill it in the backyard? I did, all right? I did in the 80s, man. We would eat something called birria or something made with lamb, and it was my niece's first birthday party. And we were in Chino Hills, or Chino back in the day before it was all developed, and there was a bunch of farmland, and two little baby goats ended up in the back of the station wagon. And for a couple of days, my sister and I got to play with them. They're like little dogs. They're beautiful. They're in our house and in the backyard. And then one day I come home and I hear, meh. And I'm like, what's happening? And I see one of the older guys with his knee on the goat's neck, and he's cutting the neck and bleeding the goat. He's killing it. They're going to make some food. But the knife wasn't so sharp. So it was a lot of effort, and the guy was sweating, and they had to skin it. It's a lot of work to actually kill an animal and prepare it for lunch or for dinner. Job sacrificed animals for his children. That's a lot of work. It's going to take work for you to wake up and pray. It's going to take effort for you to watch and pray for your family. And you might not even see the results, but you have to do it. And even when you do all those things and you still may be just and an upright person, you do it. Satan was allowed still to come and destroy Job's family. You know the story of Job. Satan comes and he asks God for permission. Basically, he slanders Job and he says, he only worships you because his life is going well. But take it all away and he will curse you to your face. That's why the danger of watching TV or going to churches that teach you, if you're a Christian, you'll be healthy and wealthy. It's dangerous to teach that, because when life hits you square between the eyes, you're going to go, well, I thought God loved me. Oh, he does love you, but you're still going to suffer. And you know the story. Job lost his children. Job lost his finances. And eventually, Job lost his health. And yet, he says something amazing. He says, naked I came in, naked I leave, blessed be the name of the Lord. Instead of cursing God, he worshiped God. And we gotta be men like Job. It was through that relationship that he had. It was through that prayer life that he had. It was because his eyes were watching and focused on the Lord. He was able to endure those hardships. We have to be watchful. The disciples, remember, at the end of the life of Jesus, were sleeping instead of watching. And the Lord warns them. He says, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I used to say, well, Lord, I get weak. If I'm up early, I'm losing sleep, and then I'm more grouchy and I'm more in the flesh, so I'm going to sleep in so I can be more in the spirit. No. Watch and pray. Lest, he says, you enter into temptation. One of the ways to guard yourself against any temptation is prayer. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5, it says, you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. And in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, to shepherds of the church, to shepherds of their homes, those of you who have children and wives, family, someone, you're shepherding someone, therefore take heed to yourself and to the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, salvage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, because of these things, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Be watchful, be alert. Secondly, he says, stand in the faith. Now, in our strength, we can do certain things, and we can probably do a lot of things, but we're limited. But if you stand in the power of the Lord, it's a whole different ballgame. No joke, guys. When I was in downtown LA in Skid Row, I saw a lot of demon-possessed people. Those of you coming off of meth and those type of things, you know. Some are on drugs. Others are possessed by spirits. You know. You've probably seen it or seen that spiritual realm. But I'll tell you this. In the Lord, and just like the Bible teaches, the demons yell and scream for mercy. They're fearful. I've never been so scared of a man where I beg for mercy. I'll get beat up, but I'll get beat up silent, you know. But I've never been in the presence of a man where I'm like screaming and yelling for mercy. And yet when the demons are in the presence of the Lord, they're on the floor begging for mercy. Son of man, have you come to torment us before the time? Leave us alone, basically. They're scared of Jesus. Sometimes you picture Jesus like meek and mild, and yeah, he's full of love. But he's also the same God who will come back at the second coming with a sword to destroy his enemies. And the demons fear Jesus. And the smallest little boy can pray and call on Jesus and make the demons and the devil run. We need to stand in the faith. It means to stand firm. It also means to hold your ground. That means you are going to fight. That means things will come against you. You're not to run or just duck, but you're supposed to stand your ground. It's a defensive move. Stand your ground. Stand in the faith. Take a stand for that which is good. One of the reasons our society has gone down is because of the lack of manly, godly men. We've been neutered willfully. We've stopped speaking out against injustice or evil. We need to stand. We need to give a godly opinion. Joshua took a stand in Joshua chapter 4, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river in Egypt. Serve the Lord, Joshua says. And then he says, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites whose land you dwell in. But as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a man. It's not like, well, I'll see what my wife says. No. As for me and my house, I'm going to take a stand. We will serve the Lord, whether you do or not. Someone very awesome said this, and you'll probably know this. The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in the moment of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenges. Martin Luther King Jr. said that. It wasn't easy for that man to take a stand and do what he did, and he even lost his life. And yet, he did. And did you know he was a pastor? We need more pastors like that. We need more men like that. We need more laymen like that. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown down and trampled underfoot by men. salt in the ancient times was a preservative. No refrigeration. And if you're in a deserted place, you would salt the meat or the fish or whatever you could to preserve it from rotting. And that's what salt does. It preserves meat or whatever from spoiling. And the Lord says, you're the salt of the earth. We're the antibody in the sense. We're the church. We're placed here not for ourselves, but to do war against the kingdom of darkness. I love preaching and teaching, and I feel like I'm, you know, giving Satan one in the private or in the neck or whatever. You got me good, I'm going to get you good.
Amen.
You too. Every time you pray, every time you preach, you tell someone about the Lord, you're taking His territory.
Amen.
You're claiming lives for Jesus, and that's what we're here to do.
Amen.
Jesus says, don't lose your flavor. Be salty. Have that flavor. Make a difference. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light the lamp and put it under a basket, but under a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. You're going back to darkness in the world. And when we come to church, I wish church was like this every Sunday, man. Two guys in prayer and just realness, and then you guys, real, man. The Holy Spirit moving, and a lot of churches, it's in and out. People don't listen. They're not open to the Spirit. Man, we need more of just genuine worship and Bible teaching and just open hearts. You're going to go back to the world, and you're going to be a light in a dark place. And the Lord says, don't hide it. Just shine even brighter. Just shine brighter. Thirdly, the Apostle Paul tells us to be brave. Now, that means not stupid. When the Lord says, you know, like my brother doing outreaches and stuff, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of stress. And for those who've done it, you're like, oh, all right, here we go again. Right? Because you get smashed spiritually, financially, emotionally, every way. But when you're seasoned, you know, you're a seasoned Christian, it's not that you're absent of fear. It's just, yes, sir. All right, here we go again. You go back out to battle. You go back out to do those things. So to be brave doesn't mean you're not going to be scared. You're going to be scared. But to continue to do the right thing, regardless of your emotion, to keep on moving forward. In the King James Version, I love it because literally he says, quit you like men. Literally, act like a man. That's the Apostle Paul. He says, act like a man. Man up in the Lord. And I have to say, in the Lord. Man up in the Lord. Me too. For a while, my world's falling apart. Well, you know what? Man up in the Lord now. All the crying and the victim and the boo-hoo, it's just a waste of time. And yeah, you know, all right, cool. Get over it. Look to the Lord. Move forward. You're wasting time. Act like men. Be the kind of man that when you wake up, the enemy goes, uh-oh, they're awake. They're awake, and you can be. Only 11, and then Paul, the 12th, guys full of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, transformed the whole world. Because the mission wasn't dependent on them. It was dependent on the Lord. They just lived it out. And they were perfect. And yes, God blessed their endeavors. Are you scared? I get scared a lot. I go up and down, but I move forward. Did you know the disciples were scared? Have you been in a place where you lost even the hope of living? Depression, sorrow, heartache. I have. When those things first happened, and I'm so glad the Lord is real. Because I did lay for, when I first found out my wife was cheating on me, not just cheating on me, like 3 years. And I'm Pastor Mel. We're at church. We're doing marriage counseling, all kinds of stuff. I was in a parking lot, laying there, just crying. And I was just like, there's a train right there. It's coming. I lost hope. But I remember the Lord saying, you have to forgive. And I remember telling me, get up. Get up now. I'm with you. I'm actually protecting you. Lord, why? It's okay. You're not going to understand, but one day you're going to look back and say, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
The disciples lost that hope for maybe a moment. Check this out. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, they say, our hope for you is steadfast because we know that you are partakers of the suffering. So also you will partake in the consolation. So as you suffer, you're going to learn that God is real, that God is there, and He will comfort you. And check this out in verse 8. But we do not want you to be ignorant or unaware, brothers, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure. Have you been burdened beyond measure? Yeah, we all have. It's too much, Lord. I can't take anymore. Above strength. Have you been there where, you know what, as a man, it's just, that's all I have, Lord. There's nothing else I can give. So that we despaired even of life. They wanted to go home. I'm done, Lord. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. That's the key, guys. All right, I can't do it, and it's okay to say that, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. They didn't trust in themselves. They trusted in the Lord who, even if they were to be killed, who would raise the dead. Notice what they say. Past tense, present tense, and future tense. Who delivered us from so great a death. That's the past tense. Who does deliver us. That's the present tense. In whom we trust that will still deliver us. That's faith looking to the future. When trials and tribulation come again, He's going to deliver us. We've been through this before. And lastly, the Apostle Paul tells us to be strong. To be strong. Some of the strongest people I know, in the world's eyes, look weak. Feeble. There's people dying of cancer that, man, you're strong internally. You're strong. I couldn't do that. You know? There's elderly people. There's young people who are choosing to be pure for the Lord. You got to be strong in the Lord. Now, we're limited, but God isn't. God gave me this verse before I left Calvary Chapel Dunbar to go plant a church 8 years ago. And I was super duper scared. Super scared. I didn't know anything. And I'm glad I didn't know anything. I wouldn't have done it. You know? Super scared. And I learned it. I memorized it. But as I was studying, I began to cry. Because now I'm living it. And I'm experiencing the victory that we have in the Lord. It's awesome. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, the Lord tells Joshua, Joshua's scared, he's about to take the land. That's war, guys. He's going to war. He's going to battle. He's going to fight the enemy as we're going to go back to our homes, as we're going to go back to the world. It's going to be war, combat. It's ugly. And the Lord tells Joshua this, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. That's not a life absence of combat. That's a life of combat with met with the enemy, in this case, other men. He says, they're going to challenge you, but they're not going to stand against you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. The enemy will come against you. He will. No questions about that. He will. He has. Last night I was having horrible dreams, you know, and I wake up and something's in the room and you begin to pray, get out of here. And you know, he'll come against you. But the thing is, God says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Now, I felt alone out there in L.A. and no more or nothing. I'm just me. Sometimes even in the park preaching and all that. And I felt like I went to war and everyone went home and I'm still out here, Lord. No, you're not alone. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Guys, it's your purpose to lead your family members, your friends and strangers into what? The promised land, into victory. And the Lord is saying, I've chosen you, Joshua. People will come against you. The enemy will come against you. I was with Moses. I will be with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. Be strong. And the result is you will give this land as an inheritance to those who I swore it to. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Now here's the key. How are you strong and courageous? Not on our strength. By doing what you're doing, guys. I love it. Don't stop. Don't stop. You might not have the knowledge that the older guys have in the Lord, but you have something that I haven't seen in a while. The power. The juiciness. The faith. And you don't even know. You're like a little baby rattlesnake. Everyone thinks the big one's going to kill me. No, it's the little one that's more powerful. The venom is stronger in a sense. Don't lose that. You keep that, you're going to move mountains. He says, be strong and be courageous. And this is the key. Do not turn from the law of Moses, the word of God, to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. It's conditional. Stay in the Word of God. Meditate on it day and night. Live it. Breathe it just like you have. Don't stop. Have I not commanded you, says the Lord, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You're not alone. You're not alone. And lastly, Paul says, let it all be done in love. Amen. You don't want to go out there and man up and, I'm a man and leave this place and, you know, just start throwing people, you know, down and pushing them out of the way. Well, that's not what we're talking about. He says, let it be all done in love. Amen. When you serve the Lord, when you choose to live for Him, it should be out of love and gratitude of what He's done for you. If it's out of obedience, okay, just do it until the love comes and pray, Lord, help me love you more. But if you love Him, you know, one of the things that kept an unfaithful person faithful to his, you know, wife for 15 years wasn't, you know, the lack of opportunity. One of the things that kept, you know, substance out of my veins and me from stop smoking or drinking like I used to wasn't the lack of opportunity. It was the love for God and His love for me. Because I would struggle. Lord, help me love you more. Jesus says, if you love me, you will follow my commandments. You have to love him. There was a man who denied the Lord three times, and he loved the Lord, but he denied him three times in his flesh. He even walked away from the Lord. He cursed the Lord. And God came to him. And he was back doing what he used to do before Christ. And the Lord comes and he bakes him fish and bread. Begins to feed him again. And he begins to restore him. Amen. He says, Peter, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And a second time he says, Peter, do you love me? And a third time he says, Peter, do you love me? And when Peter says, yes, Lord, I love you, the Lord says, tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. Follow me. You have to do it in love, guys. Love for him.
Amen.
He will restore everything. I don't know, you know, finances and relationships. I don't know. I pray so for you guys, but it may not happen. It may not happen. It may happen a different way. But I'll tell you this, you're not going to hell.
Amen.
I'll tell you this, in the Lord there is victory, and you're going to be okay. And this is the beginning. He will restore you. And if you can be transformed, forget it. You're good. You're good. Last scripture, guys. Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus says the High and Lofty One, who inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. To be contrite is to be remorseful, to be repentant, and to be humble, obviously, is to be humble. Are you sorry? Are you remorseful? Have you repented? Notice he says, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. God will restore you. You have to put him first. We have to watch. We have to stand fast in the faith. We have to be brave or act like men. And we have to be strong in the Lord. And lastly, it all has to be done in love. And this morning, maybe you're here and you've never given your life to the Lord. Or maybe you've drifted a little bit. I don't care about numbers or anything. I'm talking right now, real deal, guys. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you're going in your own strength, you're not going to make it. Even if you gain the whole world, Jesus says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? We will all be naked before him one day. But if you don't know him, like I put in the back of that police car, he can set you free. Physically bound. Spiritually bound to Satan on my way to hell. But God set me free, and he will set you free this day. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, just pray this prayer. Or if you want to recommit your life, just pray this prayer. Just say, dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. I ask you, Lord, to wash me and cleanse me with your blood. And I now receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you and keep you. We're going to partake of communion. And what we're about to partake of is something very beautiful, guys. One of the things that Jesus said, you know, to do in remembrance of Him. But it also points forward to His second coming. He says, do this until I return. He's coming, guys, and He's closer now than He's ever been before. The world's falling apart. But He isn't. We remember that He loved us so much that He died for us on the cross, and that through Him we have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. So we're going to get ahead and worship, and then we'll partake of communion. Heavenly Father, do come before You, Lord. Thank You for Your blood, Lord, that washes our sins away, Father, for forgiving us, Lord, and paying a price that we could not pay, Lord, and setting us free from the bondage of the enemy, Lord Jesus. We remember, Lord, and we worship You, and we thank You for that which You've done. Jesus said, this is My body, which is broken for you. Take this remembrance of Me. Let's partake of His body. And this is the blood of the new covenant that was shed for the remission of sin. Let's go ahead and partake of the juice, which represents His blood. Heavenly Father, just wash these men, Lord. Bless them, Lord, with every spiritual blessing that You have for them, Father. Bind up Satan, Lord. Open doors, Father, that no man can shut, Father. And close the doors, Lord, that would distract them and stumble them, Father. be with them, Heavenly Father, and then use them mightily for your glory, Lord. We love you and we worship you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand and close with worship, guys.